What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them.
Daddy, you ready to see?
Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ shot city six rings. D-Rose too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on whack. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap, Bulls on tap. Our city pretty and gritty, Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners, we got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth, Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted. We're here to talk about a rebound win, a 123-88 victory over the Orlando Magic. Before we do that, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcast needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bulls Scripted and Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, 5-star rating and review, because that's cool and tough. Go to VividSeats.com if you want to go to the next Bulls game or anything, really, anywhere you're at. Go to VividSeats.com. If you have an order over $100 and use the promo code ONTAP, you get $10 off. That's like Goose and I buying you a beer wherever you're at. So VividSeats.com, any order over $100, use promo code ONTAP, you get $10 off. If you want to interact with us, go over to the YouTube, throw a subscribe or whatever they call it on the YouTube channel. Subscribe, whatever. Come over, talk in the chat room, and let's talk about this win. Goose, it's Friday. First of all, how was your Thanksgiving?
That was pretty good. Yeah, we had headed over to the lady's house. I took some gummies on the way there, so I was in a great mood. And sat right next to probably my future father-in-law. And we ate some turkey and some cheesy potatoes and some Brussels sprouts and some broccoli. And he smoked the turkey, so it was fucking delicious.
That's sweet, dude. No, I love Brussels sprouts too. So you had some good food yesterday then too, man, huh?
Yeah.
You indulge in any sports yesterday?
No, I actually didn't. By the time we got there, me and the lady kind of slept around in the morning, took it easy, hung out with each other since we don't get to do that very often. And then by the time we got there at 3:30, it was chow time. So TV was off and full focus was on the meal.
Oh, okay. Right on. Yeah. Yesterday I went to my grandparent-in-law's house. That's who hosts Thanksgiving. My dad, as I told you on Wednesday when we did the show, he has COVID. It's so crazy. So he tested right on Wednesday when I told you about it, and he tested positive. He waited the 24 hours, how it says on the back of the box, and he did it again. It said negative. So now he doesn't know what to believe. So he's just really staying inside at this point. Because he doesn't know if he has it or not. You know, I don't know how it works, man. So he's just going to remain quarantining until he knows what's going on. But so I didn't get to see him yesterday. He was at home by himself, so we had to bring him food, which I felt really guilty about. But other than that, it was cool to see a Bears winner. That was great. And then, I mean, the Dallas game was pretty good too. But yeah, I was just really looking forward to this Bulls game here tonight because we're coming off, you know, a couple losses there, and I just did not want to keep that going. Bulls come out and they come out flat. Your initial thoughts in the first quarter, because if there's anybody that's kind of like me that overreacts, I mean, you're pretty level headed, but I know you get mad when they don't play how they should be. How'd that first quarter sit for you?
Luckily, the first quarter sat on my phone in my pocket at work, so I didn't have to endure flatness. that you did, luckily, because after back-to-back suck shows, I probably would have been overreacting a little bit. So I'm glad I was spared. But so why don't you carry us through it? Like, what were you like? Oh shit! Here we go again. Like, we're gonna blow this to Wendell Carter Jr. and a Magic team without Cole Anthony.
I didn't want to say, like, I wasn't ready to say we were going to blow it, but I did put a tweet out there that I'm not having fun. And usually when I say that, it means like I am on the verge of a basically a breakdown. And I'm like, dude, like I knew Wendell was going to come out. He had the article that came out with KC before the game. You know, he's, you know, Chicago holds a special place in his heart. He loves the Bulls organization, yada, yada, yada. You know, the good guy shit that they all say. And he came out and he was just like, no, I'm going to fuck you up. And that's what he started to do. And I'm just sitting there like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he comes out and I've watched a little bit of Orlando Magic basketball, but like, I guess I just didn't really pay like too much of attention to like, you know, his headband flow with his big ass Felicio glasses. I'm like, man, that's, you know, Felicio taught him that, you know, how to ball like that now. But I was not having fun, dude. Like I thought it was brutal. The Bulls were not, they were not passing the ball well. I felt like the ISO ball between DeMar and Zach started, like we talked about on Wednesday, got really heavy. There wasn't ball movement. I'm like, dude, like you can't, like, why is this changing compared to what we have been talking about lately? You know, like when their win streak
have to do with Caruso coming back out of the starting lineup. Do you think?
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Adjusting to playing with Vooch again, and they have their screener back, so now it's just like pick and roll heaven again, or like, you know, what do we got going on?
Yeah, no, I don't know, and that's why I was kind of like looking at for your opinion too, because. It's not Caruso, because when Vooch was out and Caruso was inserted in the starting lineup, that ball movement was still fantastic. You go back to the two games prior that Vooch went down with COVID, that ball movement, look at the assists and to the assist to turn, like it was fluent. It was beautiful. So I don't know. Maybe it is a readjustment, like you said, with Vooch coming in. But, like, dude, there was just no movement. There was no movement. And I felt like they were being lazy. When shots were getting into the paint, when they were getting to the paint trying to create shots, they were getting lazy. They weren't closing out. And I'm like, dude, what is going on? But finally, they just kind of got their shit together and they were able to turn it around. And I'm going to have to tell you what, man, a lot of that comes from one Coby White. Coby White caught magic tonight. That's the title of this episode. You know, Coby brought the magic because he literally brought the magic. He provided the spark the Chicago Bulls needed to get their shit in gear. And I don't know if anybody in this chat disagrees or has thoughts on that. Please throw it in. But when he came into the game, it was a Goose. I'm telling you, it was a fucking turning point. Like just in general, it just everything changed. And I watched this game tonight through sober lenses, man. Like, you know, like there's no alcohol in me at all. Like right now, no burnt drink, nothing like that. It's a very busy day. I went to the trampoline park. I did a couple backflips. Juice jumped into a ball pit, sprained his ankle. Yeah, very bad shit happened today. But you know, so.
Note to our listeners, if you're over 30 years old, don't go jumping into ball pit.
Yeah, you should have seen him. I'll tell you later. But yeah, so it was like a very, very sober day today. And like I said, after Coby came in, man, the way he orchestrated himself, the way he got his shot going when he saw his team defensively didn't have it going for a moment and offensively was being stagnant, Coby came in and made some shit happen. Plus 39. Remember, I only use that when it fits my narrative. Plus 39 tonight in 24 minutes, 9 of 11 from the field, 2 for 4 from downtown. He finishes with 20 points off the bench.
And that's about as efficient as you can be. Plus 39, that's not a number you hear or see very often. Obviously, the Bulls did win by a very large margin. But that's dumbfounding. And like you said, we're only talking about it because it fits our narrative at the moment. But
right, yeah, we have to.
that is amazing. I mean, just the fact that this team has been struggling in general, and Coby has seemed lost, and we've gotten flashes of, as I heard Stacey say on the broadcast a couple of times, old Coby, which I feel is a little weird because Coby isn't old. And he really hasn't gone anywhere.
He should say accustomed to Coby, what you grew accustomed to watching him play, you know?
So to have that back would be phenomenal for this team, especially, you know, if we decide to keep Caruso in the starting lineup, moving him in and out there. We were a little worried about our bench depth with Coby being on point. And essentially, I guess, from what you're saying, sparking and saving this game entirely.
I felt like him and Caruso coming off the bench was just everything we needed. They both, like I said, 24 minutes for Coby, 25 minutes for Caruso, plus 39 for Coby, plus 38 for Caruso. I felt like they played really great in second unit together. you know, staggered with DeMar.
So what you're saying is we have to come up with a nickname for those two.
Yeah, it's going to have to happen. It's going to have to happen. They just played well together. They fed off each other real well. I was really disappointed with Derek Jones Jr., not in his play, but the fact that the guy picked up six fouls in 10 minutes.
That seems to be, like, his biggest problem all year, and I get Billy's asking him to play out of position, and he doesn't have, like, a stop button.
I thought it was tic-tac, dude.
Okay.
A lot of them I thought were ticky-tack. He was just playing defense, man. Like, that's the thing. Where the NBA changed this year, and again, it's something we talked about a lot. I think that we've been watching a lot more competitive basketball across the board this year. There's not a lot of bullshit. There's not a lot of, oh, I'm going to jump into you and I'm going to draw a foul. Again, of course, people love that when it fucking fits their narrative or helps their team. But this year's been a lot more competitive. Why are we doing some games you could play, you know, tenacious defense than others? You could play tenacious defense. I understand it's different referee crews. I mean, we know that. They travel around. We get it. It's different all the time. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, six fouls in 10 minutes for this guy who's been playing real well out of position. I mean, I didn't think he was hacking away. I think three of his fouls were definitely deserved. Maybe the fourth, maybe. But how quickly they came, unreal. Unreal.
No, I mean, and we've been having issues with officiating the whole season. And you have to wonder when it's going to change. Like, when is this team going to get some respect? You know, you're starting to get it from opposing fan bases. You're getting it from opposing teams. They're definitely not seeing the Bulls on the schedule and going, oh, that's a game that we can take. But, like, when are we going to get the respect from the officials? This is not the same team, like, at all. And we need to start getting some of this respect. Obviously, it didn't matter tonight because we blew them out in the end. But a lot of these other games have felt like they've been stolen from us alongside mediocre performances. And it's just, did we deserve to win the games? No, but the officiating is going to have to get cleaned up all around. It can't just be we're not going to call the bullshit anymore. You can't start calling other bullshit just because you're not calling that bullshit.
You know? Right. And no, I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree. I know we spent some time on the bench. Tony Bradley, only 4 minutes. You know, like we said in the beginning of the year, he was going to be situational. You know, he is a true center. Every once in a while, you're going to get him. Every once in a while, you're not. It just depends on, you know, what his athletic prowess is and what he can do on the court to help you win. I like to see him come in because he just brings in a ton of energy. Again, Ayo Dosunmu, let's talk about him off the bench before. I know we kind of went to the bench before the starting lineup, but we just had to talk about Kobe's game. Ayo, again, man, I got to say it again, 3-and-D already as a rookie. Dude just drains his shots, plays with a ton of confidence everywhere. He's untouchable. I love the fact that he's broke this rotation. And, you know, it was cool to see TBJ today because I know we were very high on him in the past. I still am. I like Troy Brown Jr. I think he adds a lot, but I can't see him taking minutes away from Ayo. I just don't think it's feasible at this point in time.
No, for Ayo to come out that hot as a rookie, to have longer years of contractual control with Ayo and just like a longer guaranteed future, it just doesn't make sense to play Troy Brown over him if it's that obvious that they're equal or Ayo's already performing better. So
right,
as much as we love TBJ and, you know, it's still possible he cracks his rotation. Javonte Green's still getting a lot of minutes, and you know, there still is potential for a spot on this roster for Troy Brown in the future. So yeah. He's just got to take advantage of his opportunities, and you know, maybe he'll end up cracking the rotation in some part of the year.
I think that if he could hit that three a little bit more at a consistent clip and take it with some confidence, he'd be in that rotation hands down. You know, that would be a hard call, obviously, for Billy to make. I shouldn't say hands down. I think you'd really have to look at it, maybe situational type wise because of size difference. But yeah, I mean, if he could just hit that a little bit more, I think he'd be great.
Just with the amount of small ball that we've been playing, there's going to be minutes for him some months, and he's just going to have to, you know, shine in that time.
Right. Another game, another day, the Bulls out-rebound their opponents. Want to bring that up real quick. 47 boards to 36 boards tonight for the Bulls.
What's up, Wendell?
Yep. 32. Wendell, man, 26 and 10 in 30 minutes. 2 for 6 from downtown, 8 for 10 from the free throw line, had 2 assists, 2 blocks, no turnovers. Typical, you know, not typical. Typical new Wendell game. He's had some clunkers, but he's come out a lot and played real well. 32 team assists for the Chicago Bulls tonight to the 18 for Orlando. this is something that's like really cool. 7 3-pointers hit for the Magic. 7 for 32, 21%. Bulls 17 out of 34 for a 50% clip. 48 for 86 from the field for the Bulls. That's good for 55.8%. They held the Magic to 30 for 80, 37%. So the defense really picked up there at the end of the first quarter going into the second quarter. I know
what
they
was the score at the end of the first quarter?
It was 27 up.
Okay.
It was, yeah, they were tied 27 going into the second, and the Bulls pulled away in the second quarter there. It was like I said, when Kobe came in and kind of started, because the Bulls were down. They were down in the first quarter. They kind of had like a little bit of a rally to come back and get to them, because I thought Orlando started pulling away for a minute. And when Kobe came in and started making some hoops, you know, it started changing the momentum a little bit. And then after the second, dude, I mean, they just ran away with it. They had scored them 28-19 in the second quarter, 35-23 in the third, and 33-19 with the end of the bench in the fourth. You know, I know that their end of the bench was in. I know they're not fully healthy either, but I mean, they,
yeah, even in a big win, Matt Thomas was still pissing me off at the end.
Dude, I know. He just, like, I feel like he's like that my player guy who didn't buy the VC that just tries to do dribble moves in 2K that you just get on your random team. Pisses me off. Knock it off, Matt Thomas. Stand in the goddamn corner and hit three. But
no, he's making me feel guilty that we were right about him taking the spot from the Stanimal in the offseason. And, you know, like, can I have Stanley Johnson back, please?
Yeah, I don't.
At least I feel like he would be usable in situations where I just feel like I couldn't trust Matt Thomas. He's got Denzel Valentine disease.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong, dude. I don't get it. Like, I mean, thank God it's not like any meaningful minutes. So, I mean, we could take solace in that. We can know, like, okay, it's not like when Denzel came in when we're trying to look for a run with a 3-point shooter. Like, we've got some of those.
I'm not going
to
have somebody tackling Zach and chucking half court shots.
Right. I mean, it's just that I could deal with like the 2 minutes. I'll still be irritated, but I could deal. And that's the most important part of Matt Thomas, in my opinion. Now into the starting lineup, Zoe, awesome game, for him. He had a couple turnovers, three of them, but 4 for 7. And that was from the field and from three. He went 4 for 7 from three. He had 13 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 steals tonight for Lonzo Ball. All over the place again. I know the points aren't so sexy. I hate the fact that he passes up on wide open shots. That is something that is, I will say, because, I mean, if people listen to our podcast, which I know we have a good amount that do, and thank you very much, I'll admit when I'm kind of being a little bit of a homer. And with Lonzo, I think you could probably tell that I have totally been all over him saying, oh, he's the man. But I never really say he's done anything too wrong. Goose, I think what transcends him into the player that he can be is if he stops hesitating and looking just to, I feel like you have to make a conscious decision sometime to make that pass. I do feel like it's in his nature to do it. But sometimes I feel like consciously he's like, oh, man, this guy's cut. I can find him here. Instead of pulling the trigger and taking an open shot, he let about. I have him in my phone. Where's my phone? I swear to God, I put it down in my phone. I put a little tally mark in my notes every time he passed up an open shot. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 open shots, 3 of them from 3-point land. Drives me nuts, but hey, decent game from him.
When you're making these tallies, so we can kind of keep this as a running thing on the show.
Yeah,
you can try to take a look at the shot clock just so we know, okay. You know, is it a smart decision that he's extending this possession and not fair. Taking, yeah. You know, just an easy open look because it's there.
Right.
Because I do think that would be important. But obviously your point in general, I don't think there's a Bulls fan that would disagree with you. An aggressive Lonzo is good for this team.
Yeah.
When he is aggressive, it seems to lead to good things. And that's on both ends. I just wish that he would take his aggressiveness that he has on the defensive end and apply that to scoring at some times, because DeMar and Zach aren't always on the floor. They don't always need to be taking the shots. You can definitely be that player, Zoe. And that's what's excited about having him on a long-term contract.
Yeah, I think he gets better, too. Like, I'd like to reiterate, I think he gets better. I mean, he's 23, 24 years old. You know, I think it's something that can come into his game. I just wish that he had – sometimes I question the confidence he has within himself just to pull the trigger instead of trying to find somebody.
because I'll have to say I hate his mid-range game.
No, yeah, yeah. It's so odd to me because he's so fast, too, and he can create separation. It's something I think, again, you said this before. You can always learn to shoot better. You know, like you can always get there. The intangibles of the game are something that you have a hard time learning once you get to the league.
Shooting something that me and you can get better at with old age because it's just one thing that you always do in the game. And it's the one thing you can practice by yourself. Just keep fucking shooting.
And I feel like he creates so much separation, but he does like this weird ass little off his back foot, like leaner jump shot thing.
Yeah, it's like he's got the wrong 2K release picked and he's hit the timing down.
Yeah, dude, I was about to say the same shit before you beat me to it. He's got like generic shot 4, you know, like I don't really know, you know.
He's got to find Lonzo Ball leaner, not generic 4.
Right. I just, you know, that's the only knock I have. I mean, it's not a knock. It's just a gripe. I think that he will get better with that as time goes along, but I'm just not looking for things to nitpick. It's just what I've noticed. Nikola Vucevic, in his return to Orlando tonight, the Orlando social media team put a real cool tweet out about him coming back and everything like that. You know, they put a cool graphic on the screen on NBC Chicago when it started showing highlights of him in Orlando, what he did over there, how many points, how many games, etc. Got a little bodied there by Wendell a little bit in the first. He came back. He did well. He shot 7 for 13, so a little bit over 50%. 1 for 4 from downtown. Missed 2 wide open shots. This is what kind of killed me tonight, dude. 1 for 5 from free throw land, like from the stripe. And I'm just like, that's not. He doesn't do that. Like, I mean, even when he's been, I mean, not playing well, right? He doesn't do that. So I was really surprised because if he hits his free throws tonight, Goose, we're talking about a 21-point outing for him. We're talking about 21 points and 8 boards, 3 assists for him tonight if he hit all of his free throws.
Yeah, I mean, and do you think it has to do with COVID? I mean, I know we touched on this previously. Do you think by the time he gets to the line, he's just that gassed and he's like trying to, you know, catch his breath and get, you know, regain his composure? And
I think it's a good point. Yeah.
Because after the game, I do know he was asked like, hey, how do you feel? Are you back up to speed? And he said, I'm getting there. You know, he kind of seemed to be beating around the bush. He didn't obviously doesn't want to say no. I still feel like crap.
Right.
Because then you just give, you know, the opponent ammunition. But, I don't know. We'll obviously have to monitor it. His slow start to the season before catching COVID obviously makes it a little harder to, you know, just easily place the blame there. So we'll kind of have to just keep it monitored. But 1 for 5 from the stripe just seems very uncharacteristic.
Like I said, yeah, that's what I was saying, man. Like, it's just not him. Even when he's been bad offensively from the floor behind the stripe or the three-point line, he's hit his free throws. You know, it's just, I don't know if it was nerves of being back in Orlando or anything like that. I don't know what's kind of, obviously he's getting over COVID and long-term effects that I've seen from COVID just in the sports world. I like only one guy really like shoots into my mind and that's Yoan Moncada from the White Sox when he had gotten it in 2020. And like he was rounding, you know, he rounded from first to home and he ended up scoring and Ricky Renteria had to like, you know, wave him down. He was breathing really heavy. And I've noticed while Vooch has been playing, he hasn't been enforcing his will in the paint as much as he was before. Maybe it's like he's conserving his strength, you know, instead of like trying to bang in there and do what Vooch does. Now he did do that a few times tonight. I'm not going to say he just completely stayed away from it, but
you think he's still feeling it in his chest? Maybe.
I think so.
He just doesn't really want to be banging.
Yeah, I think so, dude. I haven't. It's not. He hasn't been super physical. It's been a lot of J's that he's been taking. And again, I'm not mad, dude. He had COVID. Like, I don't know how it affected him. I'm not gonna bitch at this guy. You know, I was just kind of wondering, like, how has it affected him, and how is he gonna return to form? Because he was already struggling before that. You know, besides the 2 games, obviously, like we talked about before he got diagnosed with it. But I don't know. It's just kind of odd. You know, I'm hoping that he figures it out because. If Vooch does do Vooch things, holy fuck.
I had the security guard at work come up to me today, and me and him BS about sports all the time. And he's like, you know, it's going to be the Bulls and the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? He's like, and then I think I have the Suns and the Warriors in the West. And he's like, I do think it's going to be the Heat and the Warriors in the end. But I think the Bulls and Heat potentially go to like seven games, a really good series. And I was like, you know what? At the beginning of the offseason, as hyped as I was, I don't think I would have gone that far.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I wouldn't bet on it.
Right.
But if that happened, I would not at all be shocked, because the Bulls do have the talent on this roster, if Vooch is right and Zach and DeMar stay healthy, to do that thing.
Yeah.
If that comes back. Like, this roster is really well built.
I agree.
It's crazy how fast it happened.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. When you look up and down it, and I know we've been talking about a couple clunkers, and we're staying grounded. I think we brought up a lot of good points about the players, and I'm trying to go a little bit more in depth than we usually do with stuff that we've seen on the court. Again, it's Orlando and their struggling team. They're a young team, and they're hurt team too. But when you get blood, and the Bulls took it from them tonight. I mean, they took it from them. They struggled in the beginning, and then they're like, you know what, fuck this. I'm putting my foot on the gas. I'm not doing this again. I'm not doing the Indiana thing. I'm not doing the Houston Rockets thing. I'm taking you guys out. Dogged
by Wendell Carter, boys. We got to fucking do something.
Right, 100%. It's like, okay, fine. I hope that was a trigger in their head that finally clicked and was like, oh, okay, this can't happen. We are way too good for this. But once Vooch does figure it out, dude, and I'm faithfully he does. I'm faithful that he gets up to career averages, maybe not points wise, because, you know, obviously got Zach and DeMar there, but, you know, regardless, I think once he figures it out, they're going to totally blast off into another stratosphere. Speaking of Zach and DeMar, both of them score 20 again, 7 for 16 for DeMar DeRozan, 3 for 3 from 3-point land. I love to fucking see it. I absolutely love to see DeMar hitting 3, 6 for 6 from the charity stripe, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Most important stat out of this, Goose, you know how much ISO he plays. No turnovers for DeMar DeRozan. Zach LaVine, 29 minutes, 8 for 14 from the field, 3 for 7 from downtown, 2 for 2 from the fucking free throw line. I don't know when that'll improve. 21 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, and the best stat of them all, no turnovers. Huge night from DeMar and Zach, who are primary ball handlers in this offense.
Zoe is the only one of our three, like, traditional primary ball handlers that had turnovers. And he had
Zoe had 3, Vooch had 2, and Javonte Green had 4. The Bulls had 13 total team turnovers tonight.
I feel like that's something that we've been really good with all year.
I think so, too. Yeah, I agree.
Without even pulling up stats, just feel like we've won the turnover battle most nights, which we've kind of had to with the way our rebounding's been a lot of the time.
Right.
But Zach and DeMar are going to do Zach and DeMar things, and I think that's kind of why we got to them last. I'm sure we spent the majority of the first, 20 shows this year just oohing and gooing about
those. Yeah, basically drooling over them, man, you know.
because it's very easy to. But it's just nice to not have another shitty loss. It feels good to handle your business, and I'm glad I got to skip the first quarter because, I might have been throwing shit.
Yeah, dude, no, I was pissed, bro. And that's the thing, too. Like, now we're getting to our bullshit. Like, I'm like, come on, man. Indiana, Houston, I mean, that's embarrassing. It is. I know we were struggling, but still, it's fucking embarrassing. You come out now after 8 quarters of ball where you've been beat. You've been beaten 8 quarters of ball. And you're coming out against a team that has, 4 fucking wins on the year? You had Houston, who had 1 when we were playing them. They got 2 now, obviously, fucking beat us.
They doubled their win total on us.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. And then you come up against a team with 4 wins, and you're getting dogged? These guys have only won 1 fucking game at home, and we're getting dogged?
And that guy said before the game that he was going to dog you, and you traded him there. He's only in Orlando because you sent his ass there.
Oh, bro.
And he came out and said that he was going to mess you up, and you let him do it. And luckily, you only let it happen for, 3/4 of a quarter. But that's still that can't happen. And we have to hope that mentality gets back to the underdog mentality, and the Bulls players don't start feeding into this top team in the East feeling that we get to enjoy as fans. As players, they need to keep that chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, the slow starts have been a problem. And I think we've talked about that a lot. They've been a problem. They need to fix it because you're going to go
– Otto Porter?
Yeah, right. Like, you're going to come out and you're going to fucking – like, if they do this tomorrow night – this is a perfect segue. If they do this tomorrow night against Miami And just so everybody knows, we will be, well, I'll be in attendance tomorrow night. I'm trying to get him to come with. Jimmy Butler's coming. Come on, Goose. But, you know, tomorrow night, if you start like this against Miami at home, you're in fucking trouble. You're in trouble. And it's not like, okay, yeah, we're going to work our way. But anything can happen. Anything. Anybody can come back. Anything can happen in basketball. But a good team like Miami, they're going to make it really difficult for you to fucking come back immediately if you start slow. They're 12-7. They have a good team over there. But Jimmy Butler's a top five MVP candidate right now. You got Bam, who's a fucking beast. The injury report right now for Miami is literally just Marcus Garrett. That's it. Everybody's available.
Who?
Yeah, right. No shit. Who? So you're literally coming out against a team that's a very good Eastern Conference team that wants to come in your house and fuck you up. And we're coming off a back-to-back. So it's a good thing that like no one in the starting lineup played over fucking 30 minutes tonight. You took care of business. You did what you had to do.
Well, but that's why, to your point, that it was so embarrassing to have that stint in the first quarter. Like, you knew coming into this game that you had a back-to-back.
That's another good point.
If you handled business tonight, that you were going to make it a lot easier for yourself going into a game that was going to be a lot more competitive, and you were going to have to give your all the entire game.
And that's the thing about Wednesday's game.
Strong and put it away in three quarters instead of even having to play in the fourth.
Right, and that's the thing about Wednesday's game, too, when we played Houston. Like, obviously, I know you had Thursday off in the meantime, and you had that day off, but, like, dude, we didn't need to be pressing these fucking minutes against Houston. I mean, you could have been somewhat fresh with a tune-up game tonight just to kind of, okay, yeah, I'm balling. I'm balling. Okay, cool.
Work off that turkey dinner.
Right. I'm going to get on the bench now. The bench guys are going to go in there. They're going to take care of business. We did what we had to do, and that's what happened tonight for the most part, but wish it would have happened for him a couple games in a row, compared to, you know, that shitty game in Houston. They need to come out tomorrow, man. They need to win against Miami. You know, no trading back.
Storylines around this matchup and these two teams between DeMar and Kyle both being in Toronto and never being able to get it done.
Jimmy and Zach
traded for, you know, and now both of these teams are going to be a heavy hitter in these East playoffs. Hopefully, if all things continue to go the way that they are, and I want the Bulls to throw the first punch. You know, growing up, I was always told only throw a punch if you've had one thrown at you. But the Bulls need to throw the first punch tomorrow night against the Heat. The Knicks got the first punch off against us. Philly's got us down on the ground for the count already. Well, we need to get the first hit up on the Heat.
I agree with you. And that would tie us for win total. Because I don't think – is Brooklyn playing tonight? I don't think they are.
Where Brooklyn at?
I don't think they're playing tonight. They're not. So if we win tonight or tomorrow night, get to 14 wins there and Brooklyn loses, we'll be tied for first place. I don't know if you've looked at the standings recently, but 1-6, oh my fucking God. It's all separated by, like, besides Brooklyn, who's only lost 5 games, 2-6 is one loss apart. One loss, dude.
No, these playoffs are going to be fun.
I'm telling you, dude, these rule changes at the end, just get it more consistent. But the rule changes the NBA implemented have made this a very, very competitive NBA season to start. And I've been having a fucking blast watching it. An absolute blast across the board. I've been totally digging watching Charlotte Hornets games. I've actually tuned into a ton of Wizards games because they started off so good. And they're a pretty fun fucking team. Our old buddy Daniel Gafford over there making shit happen, getting meaningful minutes. Beal doing his thing. Dinwiddie. I mean, a couple former
really
goals over
there. Gafford.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'll tell you what.
Being permanently stuck behind Wendell, even when he was sucking here, really just wasn't fair to that kid. And I think it might be the one situation that I feel that Billy just didn't handle very well as a Bulls coach since he's been here. Gafford always brought the energy, and outside of, you know, foul trouble from just trying to block everything, I really think that kid probably could have stuck here.
I think he got a little bit of a raw deal. Because he just didn't have the offensive prowess that Billy was looking for.
Could you imagine, as much as we love Troy Brown Jr. in the trade when we got him, right now looking at this roster, you might be able to use Gafford more than you could use TBJ.
Oh, I think so. Because I think, honestly, if Gafford was on this roster right now, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think if Gafford was on the roster right now, and even if, you know, if Tony Bradley ended up coming in or whatever, he'd be definitely the primary backup, and I think he'd be getting a lot of minutes because he's a decent shot blocker.
Imagine Lonzo Gafford lobs.
That'd be fucking dope.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So, I mean, so before we cry, let's move on.
Yeah, I know. Oh man, I think it's like cool to admit when you've been wrong a few times. Not saying that I'm completely like throwing TBJ away, but to see how Gafford, like you said, it's great to see him fucking ball out. I hate that he's doing it in the East, but it's great to see him ball out regardless. But yeah, like I said, these standings, man, they're very, very fucking tight, 1-6. And it's really cool to watch. And who would have thought that you'd have Charlotte at 4 and Washington at 5 ahead of the 6th-ranked Milwaukee Bucks? I mean, that's the NBA, man.
Championship hangover, man. I mean, it's not going to mean anything for them come the playoffs.
No,
mentality they're taking into it. They don't have the Jordan Bulls approach to where you just have to dominate the league, regular season, playoff, championship. Right. They've got the LeBron approach. We've got the roster. We've got the chemistry. We're going to coast. We're going to be good. Doesn't matter if we have home court advantage. We know what we're doing now. We got this. They're taking the we'll be fresh, and it doesn't matter where we play approach.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that, man. Well, like we said, man, we got to come out tomorrow against Miami. Make it happen. Stop Jimmy if you can. I'm really excited to see the Alex Caruso-Jimmy Butler matchup tomorrow. I am. I don't care.
We get more Lonzo than Caruso, but I'm far away.
I know we're going to get Lonzo, too. I'm just saying, Jimmy plays like 36 fucking minutes a game still. 37 minutes a game. I know we're going to see this fucking guy get guarded by Caruso, and I want to see Caruso take his cookies.
What about Javonte Green?
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I definitely can see that happening. Javonte is a dog, dude, but fuck, man. I mean, you look at their starting lineup, I guess. I mean, Pete, you know, I'd rather have Javonte on Butler. I'm not really too worried about fucking PJ Tucker. You know what I mean? It'll be interesting. I'm curious to see what happens because, I mean, you got Kyle Lowry, too. I'm wondering if we see Lonzo on Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry ain't no slouch. He's a very good player. So I think it's going to be fun.
That's what the matchup between these teams is. Well, what makes it so great is they're both very deep teams. They don't have necessarily a top five talent, despite Jimmy being in that, you know, MVP race right now. But they're just very deep teams that have, you know, solid players at every position. So I'm really excited for tomorrow's game. I'm really jealous that you're going to be there in attendance again. Knicks, Heat. Just keep rubbing the salt in the wounds.
Sorry, man. I can't wait for the Charlotte matchup. That's what I'm so excited to see LaMelo and Lonzo go at it at the United Center. That one's going to be fucking dope as hell. I can't wait for that. So
gonna have to buy a 100 level ticket just so I can try to run into LeVar down there.
Do you know that this year I actually get to see the only team I have not seen in person play? Portland. That is the only team that I have not seen play at the United Center. And I get to see them with Dame time this year too. So like, I'm blessed this year with the package that we did. Get to see fucking everybody. I'm all stoked on that. But I don't really have much else, man. Besides, come out, be strong, do what you did tonight. Not in the first quarter. Just fucking put your foot on the gas right away. Take it to Miami, man. Have a knock. It's not gonna be a blowout unless you just catch heat and hit everything. Pun intended, actually. But you know, come out, man, and start swinging. Like you said, swing hot, swing hard, heavy. Go at the Heat and try to fucking break them down.
No, I mean, all I really got is let's hope Kobe keeps doing old Kobe things and Vooch, you know, kind of starts to return to form and get his lungs and his legs back here. Because if those two are going, I'm not really scared of many teams on any given night. So
absolutely.
Let's get her done.
Let's get her done. Everybody be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at BullsOnTap, at ontapsportsnet. Follow my dude Goose at BullScripted, me at BuzzOnTap. 5-star rating and review. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, because you can listen to us there, it helps us out. Please be sure to do that. VividSeats.com, if you want to go to the game tomorrow night, you want to sit real close, not like us at 328. You want to sit real close down by the floor. You pay over $100, use promo code ONTAP. You get $10 off your order. VividSeats.com, promo code ONTAP. For orders over $100, you save $10. We'll be back when we're back. I'm not sure when that's going to be. Maybe we'll feel froggy and do one tomorrow. I highly doubt it, but it might happen. We'll see. But let's go, Bulls.